Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm going to be sharing about a scripture tonight in the Gospel of John, John 17, verse 24. And this scripture says, Father, this is Jesus speaking to the Father. I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. That's what we're going to focus on tonight. I want you to try to just focus in on this scripture again. Listen, this is God the Son, Jesus, speaking to God the Father through God the Holy Spirit through him. And all of a sudden, we get to look in on a conversation of the deity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, speaking about who? Us. That he wants to be with us. Father, I want them where I am. This morning, I begin to think about that scripture. And I began to just meditate on it a little bit. And I started thinking about how much God really loves me. And I started thinking about all the mercy, all the grace, all the forgiveness, everything he's done. And now he's talking to the Father who created all things. And he's asking him, I want the disciples. I want those who are called by my name with me. And tonight I wanted just for a moment, even before we begin, to change things up a little bit. And allow the Holy Spirit to come and cleanse you and speak to you. Because if we don't lay a foundation of intimacy with God, we're not going to be able to know him. Listen to this. A lot of times people get saved, and it's awesome. They step in to redemption, into forgiveness, and they step into eternity by salvation. And they have all this zeal inside of them. They're excited, and the Holy Spirit's moving inside of them. And they come into sometimes a church or a system. And I remember when I came into the Nazarene church, and they said, don't worry, it won't be long. He'll calm down. I've never calmed down. I've gotten off track. I've fallen. I've made mistakes. But there's something inside of me that's never calmed down. So tonight, let the Holy Spirit speak to you that it's not about you get converted, and all of a sudden you're with God, and now you step into a system, and you're trying to do all the right things, and your focus is more on your sin of not doing a sin than your focus of intimacy knowing Jesus. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? Really? Because here we are, sometimes born again, and then we step into a system, and sometimes those systems even teach us how to be hypocritical. You hear what I'm saying? To be almost like a pawn or a motto of something. And it seems like our energy and our strength is used to deal with our sin that we always have a problem with. And this is what I hope to convey to you tonight. That when we focus on and lay a foundation of intimacy with Jesus, and we have that relationship, and we understand how much he loves us, that he has a conversation in John 17 and says, Father, I want them with me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit speaking through Jesus says, Father, I want them with me. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. He wants you to know him and to build a foundation of intimacy, not a foundation of do's and don'ts. When you're intimate with Christ, you don't desire to walk in those sin patterns anymore. You walk away from them. You have no desire for them. So why don't you take your energy, and why don't I take my energy and not focus on all the wrong and right things that I do, but focus on my love and my intimacy with Christ and allow Christ that I get so lovesick because I love him and he's everything to me and I'm not seeking a platform. I'm not seeking a position. I'm just seeking to know him. What did Paul say? Paul said, look at what I've accomplished in the flesh, in the secular, so to speak. But I consider everything to be just nothing but rubbish compared to the knowledge of knowing Christ and being close to him. This is what this journey is about. It's about knowing Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. It's not about what you can accomplish, what you can do, or how big you make your name. It's about Him. It's all about Him. It always will be. And so tonight, even as we begin tonight, I told Michael, I said, Michael, you just be led however you want to be led. And may the Holy Spirit begin to just move on us a little bit to bring us into a right understanding of cleansing and saying, Jesus, I live in your grace. I live in your mercy. But I don't want to try to worry so much about my do's and don'ts. I just want to draw near to you as you draw near to me. And out of my love relationship with you, I walk out my destiny. I walk out the fullness. I live for the kingdom. And I don't live for the world. I come out of this stuff. And I begin to get victory because of what? Intimacy with Christ. Knowing Him. It says in Ephesians, Paul says, I pray for you this way, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Not the knowledge of what to do right and wrong, just the knowledge of Him. And when you have the knowledge and the love of Christ, you have no desire to live in that. But if you don't allow Christ to begin to break those things that pull you away from Him, if you don't desire to be in His presence, then you'll stay in the cycle. And the Lord, I believe tonight, this is what happened to me today. I played a song on my guitar and I just started worshiping Him at home. And I looked at the scripture and all of a sudden I started, tearing up. And I started crying a little bit. I started crying a little bit more. I started wailing. I started crying like a baby and I couldn't stop. And I was like, this hasn't happened to me in so long. I was just weeping like a baby. And Deanna was resting and she was in the bedroom. I walked in and she goes, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. She goes, good cry. I said, good cry. And I was fine. And I knelt down by her bed and I laid my head right there by her side. And I just wept. And I said, He loves us so much. He has so much mercy, has so much grace. And I couldn't believe what I was sensing and feeling because I hadn't been overwhelmed like that in so long. Ask you a question. It's okay. You don't have to answer, but just think about it. When was the last time you were really overwhelmed by Him? Think about it. It might have been today. It might have been last week. It might have been a month. When I ask sometimes leadership that, sometimes even in their conversation, they can't remember. Well, listen, if you can't remember, everybody should be overwhelmed when they get saved and come to the Lord. But if you don't remember when the Lord overwhelmed you the last time, then if you recall maybe it was a year or 2 years ago, now you're living in a memory instead of the moment. God wants you to live in the moment. He wants you to live in the moment to know Him. And I encourage you, let God speak to you. Let Him break some things to bring you so that you spend more time about this, being with Him. It's good, you've got to take effort to do things, but I'm telling you, rearrange your schedule, rearrange your focus, and just be with Him, before Him. And listen. He's the wonderful counselor and the divine healer, and He always wants to speak to you. Always. He wants your heart. Your heart is your spirit man or spirit woman. It's the essence of who you are, is your heart. Your heart needs to affect your thought patterns. The truth that permeates from your heart renews your mind. The truth of the scripture renews your mind so that you're able to walk in the perfect will of God for your life. That's the only way you can, by the spirit and the truth of God. I love the lady at the well. She's been married 5 times. She's living with somebody. And she can't believe that Jesus is even speaking to her. First of all, she doesn't know it's Jesus. And she can't even believe that He's talking. Because He's a Jew and she's a Samaritan and they wouldn't have anything to do with them. Married 5 times, living with somebody, and Jesus says, I'll give you a water that you'll never thirst again. Did He talk to her about her sin right then? Did He talk to her about any of that? No. He did tell her to go sin no more, but He gave her first what? what she needed. What did she need? Him. Him. And then check this out. The first missionary recorded in the scripture. Let this mess with your paradigm a little bit. The first missionary recorded in the scripture is a lady that has been married 5 times. And she was living with somebody. She drank in the water. She goes out to the city that the disciples just came from with a bunch of food. And they brought no one. She goes into the city and testifies about what? The water. Jesus. And what does she do? She brings out the whole city. This is our Jesus. This is our Jesus. He doesn't want us to live in bondage to our sin, but in freedom to his love. Hang in there with me. This past weekend, I went to Asheville, North Carolina. It's known for more artists, musicians, singers, poetry, you name it, is saturated in Asheville, North Carolina. On not just about every street corner, somebody playing music with a head out to receive money, and they're doing something. It's a concentrated place of witches and witchcraft and all kinds of different things going on. There's all kinds of New Age stuff happening. I smelt pot several times as I was walking by people just in the city, in the circle. And down in the middle of all the bars and everything that's going on is a little coffee shop that used to be a bar that they have music. And they're down there standing for Christ. And as I walked around this city and the square, because everyone concentrates in the square, they have a drum circle there every Friday night, hundreds of people. At first, I didn't look at the people through the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus immediately stopped me. And he said, would you look at them with my eyes? Would you have compassion upon them? And I started looking at these folks walking and lost and wandering and knowing that these people I'm looking at might be some of the greatest worship leaders and evangelists and in the future and pastors. But they're passionate. But their eyes have been closed. And Christ, what did he do? He went with the people that smelled. He went with the people that nobody wanted to be with. He kept speaking to the religious people and saying, what are you doing? Jesus. Why are so many concentrated there? Because there's a huge element of that mountain range for God to do something powerful in that area. And the enemy knows it. And that's why he's so saturated there. And Ray Hughes, some of you know Ray Hughes, is setting up a school of worship down there and prophetic training. And he's been called to that place. Not everybody's called to Asheville. But this is the point that I'm making. You cannot be in the midst of folks like that if you don't have the love and intimacy of Jesus. You can't do it. Because you'll look down your nose at them. You'll judge them. You won't love them. God wants you to love them. We're in the greatest time of history. Where God says that things are going to transpire to bring in the greatest movement of God that we've ever seen in history. The church is going to come to a place of unity. Every denomination, everything is eventually going to flow in a raging river of God, not in separate streams, and have an understanding of what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and not seek first the church. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God, you're for every church and every ministry to move forward. There's no envy, no competition, self-preservation. You're for it. So if you see a big church or a little church or a coffee shop in Asheville, North Carolina, with people serving in there, ministering to people, you're saying, yes, because the kingdom is going forth. And it's moving forward. That's what we're a part of. But we can't be a part of it without intimacy with God. And loving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And loving others as ourselves. So let's just ask God right now. Some of you guys are full. Some of you guys need to be filled up. Some of you guys are empty. Some of you guys may need to be saved. Tonight you need to meet Jesus and accept him. Or maybe this is just coming home. I'm coming home tonight, Lord. I'm saying yes again, and I'm not walking away. So let's ask for just a cleansing rain right now. I want you, we're going to just close our eyes so we're not distracted. And I'm going to let just Michael and the group just sing a little bit before we go into anything. And let the Lord just saturate and cultivate your heart. Let the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. Holy Spirit, come. Saturate, God. Just ask him to come and speak. Saturate this room with your presence, Lord. Create a hunger in us, Lord. Yes, God. Holy Spirit, come. It lives on the inside. The kingdom of God rise within us. Saturate us tonight, Lord, with a longing to know you. Desire to know you. Just keep asking, keep praying. Don't be distracted. God, come, Lord. You're talking about us to the Father Jesus, about our eternal destiny in you. Come, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just ask now. I just plead the blood of Jesus over every person in this room. In the power of Jesus' name, and I ask God for a saturating, for a dialogue of loving you to begin to happen. Jesus, you died. You died in love, for love. So let your love abound in us tonight. Let us rest in a place of intimacy with you, that we trust you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Rain down. Everything that's created, just flow in this room tonight. Everything that's creative, Lord. Bring back that creativity into people that have laid it down. Those gifts that somebody said, hey, you got to get a real job. Let those gifts come back that will give you praise and worship and admiration. Come, Lord. Crosses forever. Create loving dialogue. Open up our eyes to our destiny in you as we rest in the place of knowing you. And help us, all of us in this place tonight, to begin to have the ability to enjoy you, God. To experience you. To be fascinated by you. Yes, Lord, thank you. Can we sing that again, Michael? And just everyone join in with Michael in unity in the room singing that.
To hear and make us fall down. To hear and make us fall down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. To hear and make us fall down. To hear and make us fall down. I'm not.
for the love. What you turn?
What do you turn into wine? You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes you rise. There's no one.
Ghost. You take it back right now.
Heart is alive and excited about him. You know, we need to allow our expressions to go where they need to go. It's not trying to draw attention to ourselves. We're just loving God and giving him praise and giving him glory and giving him honor. And sometimes when you release that, it opens up a door. And it's a beautiful door. It's a beautiful door. All right. Well, let me just tell you a little bit before we take this offering. This is kind of a special offering. We have been here at the Grand Horizon Center for 5 years, going to be in July. And we, a long time ago, used to be at the Concord Mall. Did a lot of ministry there, and a lot of cool things happened there. And we're going to be moving back to the Concord Mall. We love the Horizon Center and love what they're doing and what they're going to be doing. But the Lord has led us to that direction and feel very good about it. But we're also taking on a building that needs a lot of work. And it's been pretty tough just month to month, you know, being here and taking care of the things so that people can be ministered to. We got to count that there has been 7,000 prophetic words given in 5 years from Voice Ministries in this house. 7,000. Many healings. Matter of fact, just even a couple weeks ago, people got saved. And so our heart is about like that last song that Michael was playing and leading. It's about building the house of David, a place of prayer and worship that can be a source of light continuously in this region. No matter how small it looks, how big it gets, it comes into relationship with what's going around the throne and what's going on in other churches around the area. We feel God's called us to that. In Nehemiah 13:10, it says, "Where are the singers and the musicians?" Nehemiah says to the leadership of that day, he says, "They're back in the fields working." He says, "Bring them out of the fields, put them at their post to minister before the Lord. And then bring in the tithes and the offerings so that they can sing before the Lord and be supported." And every time Israel did that, Israel prospered. Every time they didn't do that, they didn't prosper. It says in Amos 9:11 that the tabernacle of David is going to be restored again. It's true that the Spirit of God lives in us, and He tabernacles with us individually. But He also tabernacles with us corporately. And when we set aside a place for worship and prayer, what we're doing is we're reflecting His goodness. And we're praying for every church and every ministry in this whole region that God would move forward. It's not over. If you get tired and weary and give up, God will just bring you back right around again to say yes again. Because it's His heart. That's why I said when you run into problems as individuals, look at those problems in God's eyes as an opportunity for God's provision for you. And He will provide. And then you have to have good stewardship. I have no doubt that we're going to be able to raise the money needed to establish a ministry and a house of prayer at Concord Mall. Already so much favors happened. And I got to tell this story. This was real cool. Yesterday we were at that outbuilding where the cinemas used to be. And Deanna and I were there, my wife and I. And we were standing there looking at everything and knew there was a lot that had to be done. And a lady pulls up in a truck. She's got her dog in the truck. And she says, "Hey." She says, "Are you that church that used to be here a long time ago?" And I said, "I don't know, man. There's been a few churches here." And she said, "No, that meeting place." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, that was us." And she said, "Well, we've been going to different places, and my husband and I experienced so much in that we're going to come back to the meeting place." And she started crying when she found out we were coming there. And so we were able to walk around the truck and lay hands on her and pray for her as she wept, and we spoke life into her. So even the first time that my wife and I was there, we're praying over people and speaking life into them. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop here, anywhere. And I just encourage you, get on board with what the Lord is saying about your life and your destiny. And never, never give up. And so this offering, every penny of this offering, is going to go into the reconstruction of the things we need to do. And we've got it set up so that even in our investment of money there, we'll be able to stay there as long as we need to at this point. Favor, unmerited favor has been given by the owners, the Jewish owners of Concord Mall, and the manager, who is Bob Thatcher, an incredible man of God. And he's really been taking care of us and just loving on us and opening up the door for us. So that's what this is about, this offering. Lord Jesus, we just ask for Your blessing. We know, God, that You will provide and that You will bring things in for us to move forward. This first phase of reconstruction and putting the cafe there and having things moving for Your for your heart and for your direction. Lord, the prophetic rooms, the healing rooms, the meeting place, the Sunday morning, everything that we do there, the house of prayer, let it bring glory and honor to you. And let us not listen to any negativity or any scoffing. Let it be where it is. You take care of that. That's between them and you, Lord. And we say yes to your will for our lives. So bless this offering for the furthering of your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name, and the establishing of your house of prayer. Amen.
I need you more.
Message ever. I got 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Write this down. Write this down if you can. I have a divine advantage with Jesus. I have a divine advantage in Jesus. If you're in Jesus, you have a divine advantage no matter what you walk into or what you're calling or destiny. I'm just going to share a couple things. I'm going to edit through this real quick. John 17, 24, I think you have that on the screen somewhere. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. John 17, that chapter, it's a powerful chapter. And John 17 gives us an opportunity in that verse to peer into the depths of the Godhead. And gives us a holy glimpse into the fellowship of the Trinity. In this holy moment, the veil is open. And God, the Son, was overheard. He was overheard praying to God the Father by the power of the inspiration of God the Spirit. And God was talking to God about the eternal destiny of Jesus and His bride. You, the bride of Christ. That's what that scripture is speaking about. And I don't believe that there's another prayer like that. There's the Lord's Prayer, and that's very important, but this is how you ought to pray. But in John 17, it's the overflow of the fellowship of the three of them speaking about us and looking into some mystery, this mystery about the bride of Christ. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are talking about us. It's rare to see that in the Word. In that way, God the Son was talking to God the Father through the power of God the Spirit about His own desires for being with each and every one of us. To me, that's almost unthinkable. The Creator of all things is powerful. And we are the only creatures made on the planet by God, for intimacy with God. We're the only ones. We're the only ones that have capacity to have communion with Him. The glory of God is not simply to rest upon the angels. The glory of God is to be in us and live through us and to move in the midst of that. John 17, 24, it strikes at the heart of the most basic accusation of every person in this room. And it's this, that every one of us in this room have a great need to be loved. And it strikes at that very thing in that scripture that I just read. To be loved by God. To feel affection. To feel His presence. His affirmation. That's what the scripture is speaking about. Our most basic desire is to know we are desired and loved by God. Not that God is angry with us, but that He loves us. He desires to know us. So in that moment, in that scripture, Jesus lifts His eyes to the Father and declares His most holy intentions. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am. That's His desire. This is Jesus, the King of glory, who loves you, who died for you, who cares for you, that you've heard so many times. Jesus was telling the Father that He desires to be near to us, and that we would be near to Him, that there wouldn't be distance, but that there'd be a relationship, there'd be intimacy. Jesus wants us as companions to share the intensity of His love for us. Not in some weird way of thinking about it, about this amazing love that caused a man to lay down his life, a God-man. He desires that. He desires that encounter. That is His self-revelation, so to speak. Don't miss this. God, in His infinite wisdom, manifested the very radiance of His glory and the express image of Himself in Jesus. God, in His manifest wisdom, expressed His glory through who? Jesus. Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, Jesus is the final answer. Everything is summed up in what Jesus did and what He said. He displayed His love for us. He was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. He descended into the depths of hell to rise from the dead, to ascend into heaven, to rule at the right hand of the majesty of God, and to be admired and loved for all eternity by those He redeemed by His blood, which is us. Jesus' name, Jesus' will, Jesus' truth, Jesus' word cannot decline in our lives or in our society or in our culture of influence. It has to increase our love for Him, knowing Him. The foundation of salvation is found in John 1, 1 through 4. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's Jesus. And the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, the Father. All things were made through Him. Jesus created all things. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 4, 13 through 14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Is it springing up? Let's unplug the wells. Let's unplug the fountains. Let's let it flow. If you dance around to be noticed, you got a problem. Sorry. But if you dance around and praise Him because you're in love with Him, you got a provision. I want to finish a little bit with this. The highest pleasure of the human race is for God to reveal Himself to us. And when that happens, it's more pleasurable. It's more intoxicating. I'll use that word. When He begins to show us His wondrous love for us, it's the most terrifying thing, but the most beautiful thing in the universe. We were made, we were created to experience the mysteries and the depths of God's love. To search out the things of the Lord. The treasures that God has. go to Matthew 24, 26 through 31, because this is the time also that we're living. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man, Jesus, will appear in the heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, the four corners of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other. That day is coming. Revelations 1:7 says, behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Because of who? Because of Jesus. Because of a choice. Because they did not choose him. The love of Christ needs to compel us in everything we do. I just want to encourage you tonight that even that you're here tonight is an awesome thing, that you desire more of the Lord. God wants you positioned in his life. If you'll make him a priority, and if you'll make knowing him a priority, everything will begin to make sense to you. But as I said earlier, if your focus is always on your sin, what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong, you're going to always be focused on your sin. God doesn't want you to trample underfoot the grace that saved you, but God wants you to walk in an intimate relationship so that you're not thinking and working so hard to get over that sin. That intimate relationship with him will cause you to flee from that junk. You'll have no desire. You have no desire. It's truth. It's real. It's a place that he wants you. Some of you are there. Some of you are longing to be there. Why don't you stand? Let's just stand right now. Lord, we ask that you would transform us even tonight. That you would set us apart by your love. That we don't desire to function in a place or a position. That we want you, Jesus, to manifest your life through our lives. We want to fall deeper in love with you. Transform us, Lord, into sons and daughters of oil, sons and daughters of thunder. Let us embrace the cross tonight and die to the things that hinder us and fall deeper in love with you. Let us behold how much you love us tonight. Holy Spirit, come and release a fragrance in this room of the love of Jesus. Release a fragrance in this room. Release a fragrance in this room, Lord, of the love of Jesus. That we long to know him. To follow his path. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Let us know him above every honor that the earth tries to honor us with. Let us know him above all of that. Philippians 3, 4 through 13. But what things were gained to me, Paul said, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on. Lord, help us all in this room to press on tonight, that we may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me and everyone in this room. Help us to comprehend this, Lord, and to apprehend it. As Paul said, but the one thing I do, and today may this be so, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead in Christ Jesus. We say yes. We say yes. Amen. Amen. Just encourage you guys. Thank you for coming out tonight. But I want to encourage you. Don't settle for nothing less, man. Go hard after Jesus. Know Him. Let Him clear some things up for you. Reset your schedules so that you can be with Him. Surround yourself in a culture, a kingdom culture, where you're listening, you're worshiping. It's around you. Turn some things off so God can turn some things on for you. You got to be willing to do that. And I'm telling you, the benefits are amazing. They're amazing in the Lord. God bless you and go in peace. And may the Lord have His way with you tonight. And may He just wake you up in the middle of the night telling you how much He loves you in Jesus' name. Go in peace. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next Tuesday here at the meeting place. Invite somebody. You've got the worship. You've got the word. You got the joy. You got the truth. Walk in it. Don't be denied. In Jesus' name.